Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and your real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Hey, Keeper 100 Tribe, welcome to another episode of Keeper 100 with Sean and
Krista.
We are so glad you joined us. We have an exciting session together. We're gonna have a conversation on some very interesting topics. But before we do, Krista, you have put your hands to something that I believe will be truly instrumental in blessing a lot of people. Why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited. It's called the Big Ladies Club, and I laugh every time I say it. Has nothing to do with your appearance, has everything to do with you living in God's fullness. And this is a tribe, an online community that I'm creating for women that are wanting to live in the fullness of who God has created them to be. So what I've done, baby, is I've created a 6-week course starting October 22nd, and I'm going to be going through really key topics like defeating shame and overcoming fear and control and breaking scarcity and breaking down strongholds in your life and living in the fullness of who God's called you to be. And in these 6 weeks, women are really going to walk in and experience total freedom in their lives, and they're going to learn freedom for themselves, but also importantly, they're going to learn how to lead other people into freedom. And I am passionate about women walking in a place of freedom, emotional, spiritual, physical, mental freedom, because I believe when we are whole and we are free, people around us get whole and free. And so I'm really excited about this gathering. I'm really excited about the women coming together because I just really believe God is on this. God is raising up women like never before, but we need to be whole. We need to be the full version of who Jesus Christ to be, because in that space, we really got to understand that when the assignment is in our hand and the assignment of this hour is before us, there is a responsibility for us to walk in the fullness. That's really, really important.
I love that. I think that's so true. And I just want to say, I've seen my wife really work in this area. I've seen so many women come up to you and go, Krista, I'd love to be mentored by you. Krista, I really enjoy your ministry and what you have fought through in terms of being a voice for women and all this stuff. And here's a great opportunity to join with you live and be discipled in some very serious areas. So I'm super excited about that opportunity for women. So again, where can they go and sign up for this?
They can go to SeanandKristaSmith.com. There's a pop-up that will say Big Ladies Club, or you can just go right to the top part of our website and there'll be the Big Ladies Club right there. You can go on it. It has a schedule. It has everything that's going to be covered on topics. And then it also has the registration. And I really encourage you, grab a friend and do it as a community, because I really believe it's just going to be an incredible time as we gather. I'm so expectant. And I have a lot of women that have already signed up that are already messaging me. They're like, Krista, I'm so expectant. I had one woman when I traveled to Huntsville, Alabama, I just put it out for a couple of days, like literally 2 days. And she came up to me. She goes, as soon as I saw it on Facebook, she goes, I literally heard the Spirit of the Lord say, you're supposed to be a part of this. So I feel like God is drawing together this community of women that are supposed to do it at this time, truly for such a time as this. And so get registered. I really am expectant because I believe God has really given me a download, and I've really structured these 6 weeks to be able to impart what I believe God wants women to walk in right now.
Oh, I love that, boo. Hey, again, you guys need to sign up for this. And real quick, I also want to let you guys know that we have a momentum night for those of you in the Bay or those of you outside of the Bay. We've had people fly in from different states, but on October 4th, we are having Haley Braun from Bethel Redding, and she's going to come in, and we have been seeing God do so many things at our momentum nights. These are free gatherings for those of you that don't know. We've done them in Oakland. We've done them at our home church in Dublin. This particular event is going to be at our home church in Dublin, 644 Sierra Court, Dublin, California. And Haley Braun is going to be with us. It's going to be Friday, October 4th at 7 p.m. We have extended worship. We have a powerful just time at the altar. But more than anything, people are coming that are hungry. And if you get around the hungry, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. If you get around hungry people, you will be hungry too. So get in the room. It's free. Help us get the word out. We're excited. And if we could have a drum roll, please. There you go. That was our drum roll. Folks, you guys need to get ready and begin to put this on your calendar right now. November 22nd and 23rd, we are having the Revival and Evangelism Masterclass. Now, where did this come from? In our studies of revival, we've seen that revival and evangelism go hand in hand. That as the church is revived, the world gets awakened. Well, the world gets awakened, there has to be laborers that are going to go out there and share the gospel. So in this masterclass, this is not like come in, we're not inviting our speakers in to come give you their kitchen sink, like best hits message. We're asking them to stick for the most part to a syllabus and to subject matter that will equip you. And our whole vision for this is out of Ephesians 4. It talks about that God gave us the fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So we are having, and we love this, Jesse Green. Jesse Green, God has used her. She is a modern day John the Baptist. She has an anointing to get people to the tank and get them to their transformation. In other words, she has a great anointing for water baptisms. Her and her husband, Parker, they saw multiple baptisms in the Pacific Ocean during COVID. They've seen them on the Atlantic Ocean. They've done that as their work is in North Carolina and even open air in Times Square. She was preaching and led people to the Lord and they water baptized. And she did it. Also, there was another friend of ours who will also be at our master class as well. We're super excited to have Ben Hughes. He and his wife, Jody, they were used in Australia at what's called the Pineapple Revival. Really, it was a building that had a pineapple in front. And they saw so many people come to Christ. He delivered a word at our Momentum Big Conference that just had me on my face weeping and bawling. And so he's going to be there. He's going to equip us on how to share your faith, what specifically to say, how to handle objections. Jesse's going to talk about stuff like how to overcome fear in witnessing. And then, of course, we're going to have Krista. She's going to be there. She's going to do a great job. I'm going to be there. And we just added Todd White.
Yes.
I had the privilege of going into Wichita, Kansas and doing a Power and Love School with Todd. Many of you might know Todd from the different documentaries that have been out, Father of Lights and others that Darren Wilson has done. The Lord really uses him in winning people to the Lord. He's won Satanists to the Lord. He's won warlocks to the Lord, cast out devils, pray for the sick, seen grandmothers get up out of wheelchairs in Walmart. But he is one of the purest evangelists I know. He's going to be there. So get this, folks. You're going to come and be equipped in 8 sessions. These 8 sessions are going to all be there to get you confident in sharing your faith and leading people to the Lord, because the hour is too late for us to just play church or have the mentality of us four and no more. I'm fine. And because I'm fine, everything must be fine. No, we've got to go after this generation. We've got to go after the narrative. And you and I have been given this glorious thing called the gospel. It's matchless. And here's an opportunity to be equipped. And then we're going to conclude after those 8 sessions, we're going to conclude that night on a Saturday night in a massive night of hope that will be open to everyone. We're inviting the lost. There's going to be massive baptisms. We're going to have an afterglow party. We're praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to flow, prophesy, and then we're going to have a big fire ton of folks. Seriously, go right now to www.seanandchristasmith.com and you could sign up. And we have an early bird special. And when you get there, you're going to be shocked at the price we charge. And I mean in a good way. Plus, we're going to give you a multiple page study guide. So go sign up for the Revival and Evangelism Masterclass again. It is November 22nd and 23rd. Hey, gang, we got to jump right in this right now. We're excited about this conversation. We're going to talk to you. And we've called this, as this entire podcast is called, Hard Places Hone Us for Epic Spaces. And A.W. Tozier, who is very quotable, he's one of my favorite guys to read. And he says this, Boo. He says, if the truth were known, the saints of God in every age were only effective after they've been wounded. Ooh. Now, some of you, if you don't understand his terminology, what he means, you go wounded. If you're wounded, you need to get healed. We have to remember in Genesis 33, Jacob is on the run from his brother Esau. And then that night he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. And as he wrestles with him, the angel of the Lord touches his hip. And according to the narrative in Genesis, his hip is out of socket. So he walked differently. I actually had a dream years ago where all of a sudden I could feel a hand and I knew the hand wasn't a human hand. In this dream, I could literally feel it was a hand. It was so big that it was like the heel of the hand was on my ribs and the fingers touched down to my knees. So no one human hand is that big. And it touched me and I felt that weight on my hip. And I got up the next morning, I felt it. I dialogued with the Lord and the Lord says, I've touched you in your hip that you could walk a supernatural walk. And so I think what A.W. Tozier is saying is that saints of God are only effective after they've had that place where God has touch them, and that they're in many respects weak in themselves, but they awaken to the strength that they could find in God.
You know, James 1 verses 2 through 4 really capture this, and it gives us that scripture, that really that baseline for really what we're talking about today. And it reads, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We read that first line. It says, "Count it all joy." It's like, how would I have joy in the midst of various trials and tribulations? But we have joy because no matter what we face, He never changes. We have joy because we have the assurance that we can trust that God is who He says. We have joy because we have the promises of God that we can stand on, even when things don't go our way or things come against us. There is a joy that is not circumstance-based, but it is a joy that is God-based and word-based and promise-based in who He is. And so you read that at first, you're like, nice try. Like, how in the world would I attain that? But we attain that by resting in God and living not in the flesh, but we live in the Spirit. We're called to be people that live in the Spirit of God. And you know, here's the truth. If you are at a wilderness place in your life, you may find it to be more of a puzzle than really a purpose. But the reality is your wildernesses are with a purpose.
That's good.
And although they might feel confusing, there's like a puzzle, meaning there's pieces. There's like, why am I here? I don't understand this part. I don't understand this part. But I want you to know that you can be smack dab in the middle of God's will, and it still feel like you may not see the full picture, but you can have a confidence and assurance that there is a greater work that He's doing in your life. And so I have a question for you, Keep Wonder Tribe. I want you to ask yourselves, think for a moment and you imagine yourself smack dab in the center of God's will. And so when you imagine yourself in the middle of God's will, what does that mean, right? What does that look like for you? Does that mean you're in happiness? Does that mean you're fulfillment? I want to know if your theology includes that you could actually be in the center of God's will, and it actually might be a place of discouragement and even difficulty. It doesn't mean God discourages you,
right?
But He does allow you to be in difficult places that could discourage you, right?
Yes.
And I just want to take that school of thought, and I want to look for an example in Scripture. And when you look through Scripture, where do we find an example of this? Well, let's talk about the children of Israel.
Yeah.
God called Moses to bring them out of Egypt into the center of His will. They're in God's will. They're released from slavery out of Egypt, and they're called to go in the promised land, but they've spent 40 years in the wilderness. That is really difficult, right? They're in the center of God's will, but eventually they'd find themselves in the promised land in Canaan, but for a time, and that's going to be for 40 years of a time, the center of God's will was a great, and I'm going to say terrible, wilderness.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were in God's will. How do you reconcile that, right? Well, we have to understand that the wilderness throughout Scripture is an invitation and a picture to us, because we all have wildernesses in our life.
Yep.
The wilderness is a place of preparation, and Scripture shows us that.
Yep.
And it's also a place of revelation, and I'm going to say encounter. The wilderness seasons of your life, the wilderness was never created to be your permanent residence, but it is to be a place of encounter for you.
I think that's so good. And I think, you know, one of the things I think when I think about my life is that I've faced difficult circumstances. And the great thing about God is that God gives meaning behind the difficult circumstances in life. And whenever you talk to anyone that has ever accomplished something great, it is usually underneath or around the backdrop of some hardship and some difficult times. And so again, we just want to drive home the point that some of you have been in hard places, but have you ever thought that those hard places are actually honing you in for epic spaces in your future? So I think this is so important. And one of the things that I'd add to that is that you have to understand your difficulties are tied to your destiny. If the Bible's true, and it is, and God is a truth sayer, He is truth. There is no lie or deception in Him. That would be the enemy, not our God. And He says the steps of the righteous are ordained. So what do you do about the fact when you're doing right, but wrong things happen to you? What you have to do is you have to walk away understanding the revelation that your difficulties are tied to your destiny, that maybe adversity could be your advancement. Hello, Joseph. You know, he's thrown in a pit. He's lied upon. All these things happened to him, but the adversity that he overcame prepared him to rule in Egypt. And I think this is so important because God causes the hard places to make you holy. God causes the hard places places to make you hungry. God causes the hard places to make you humble, because what does God excel at? He excels at everything, okay? But God excels at using challenges you face to accelerate your development. An example of that, you know, in my own life is that when I was young in ministry, I got finished doing ministry at the University of Pacific, and God sent me to Chico State. And Chico State at that time was a party school. In fact, it was voted the number one party school in America. And I just had no idea the level of warfare I would walk into, a place so given to partying like that. It was just different. I didn't have the big campus ministry I was a part of. I had to start from scratch. So I was pioneering a ministry in the, perhaps being the number one party school in America, the most difficult place to plan a campus ministry, particularly a spirit-filled ministry. But I look back in retrospect, and the Lord taught me how to pray. I mean, really get a hold of God. He taught me how to do spiritual warfare. He taught me how to lean into my fellowship and have fiery fellowship with believers that can encourage me. I began to realize that when I was discouraged, the best thing I could do is find someone else to encourage. I think of so many lessons that I have now, because people want the platform, but they don't want your problems. And I'm telling you, if you don't develop an overcoming muscle in the problems, you'll never be ready for the platform that God has before you. And I look back, that hard space in Chico is where I learned how to literally cast out devils. Mm. It was in Chico that I learned how to get a breakthrough when there was no atmosphere. It was in Chico that where I learned to look up and I saw that there was a small crowd, and I felt like I had this big vision, but how to deliver the word like there was 15,000 people in the room, although there was only 15 in the room. And those kind of things make me who I am today. Thank you, Jesus, that those hard spaces hone me for epic spaces today. And it's funny, I was preaching then like I was preaching to 15,000, although I'm only preaching to 15. One a month, Krista and I are going to be speaking in front of 15,000 people in Brazil for our great friends, Teo and Junia Hayashi in Brazil. There's going to be 15,000 people. So if I didn't rehearse in my head preaching to 15,000 when it was only 15, I don't think I could ever have actually done it. And it's just so important you understand those tough places. Do you have an instance like that in your life?
Yeah. You know, as you were sharing yours, I was thinking about, you know, what was probably a really tough season in my walk with God and pursuing God's will for my life, specifically that area, right? And I remember it, I think back in my 20s, and it became a really pivotal moment unknown to me. And I was living in Australia, and I had been offered an incredible position at like a mega church there. And I had graduated from their pastoral ministry program. I had turned it down because I felt like the Lord called me to America to really host revival. And as I stood in that place of just trusting God and coming back to America, I came back with like a lot of prophetic words and promises and what I thought was going to be this really catalytic time, only for 9/11 to happen in America. And for those that maybe are listening from other nations, just a reminder, that's when two planes went into the Twin Towers in New York City, and really America froze. Hiring jobs stopped. Our economy was massively affected. We were paralyzed with fear as a nation, and it just forever changed us. There is a pre-America 9/11. There's a post-America 9/11. It was a very significant traumatic event that happened in the nation. And I had just come back from Australia. I'd only been here back in America a few weeks. And the positions that I've been offered verbally, none of it had been in contract. They were all removed off the table. They were reneged, and they were no longer available. I couldn't get jobs. I couldn't get work. And I found myself in a place where nothing that I thought was going to come to pass was coming to pass. I was supposed to be a part of a church plant group. They paused that because of 9/11. It was a group from Australia. They decided to wait until things got more stable in America. So the church plant group that I was going to be a part of fell apart. Well, I shouldn't say fell apart, but it didn't move forward. It paused. It was delayed. Maybe that's the correct verbiage. It was delayed. I didn't have the money. I couldn't find the job. So I ended up having to move in just out of sheer obedience to God, because I kept wanting to go back to Oregon, which is a state that I'm from. As I was up there, the Lord's like, what are you doing in Oregon if I've called you to California? Mm. And so I had to move down here, move in with my sister. Her family very generously opened up their home to me. They had three little kids, not a big house. I ended up having to share a room with my 10-month-old nephew in his crib. I got a couch that was a handy-down couch, and I moved it into a bedroom, and I slept, friends, on a couch for 1 year. Wow. And I worked at a mortgage broker firm as a front desk receptionist, which is not a bad job. It's an honest job. It's a good job, but it wasn't my passion. It wasn't why I came back to America. It wasn't a part of the plan or the promise. And I didn't see how that would put me on the path to be a preacher and a minister and the things that have been prophesied over my life. And so nothing about it felt right. I didn't like the job. I wasn't not even doing a good job at the job. I got confronted by a boss, which that had never happened. And then I was living with in a very tough situation. I ended up in the sense of like, you know, I just didn't have privacy or space, you know?
Right.
And I wasn't making a lot of money and I didn't really have a lot of friends beyond my sister, who's amazing and one of my best friends, but I didn't really have my tribe. Mm-hmm. And I just was there for about a year and a half. And I was in this place where my living situation was tough. I didn't love my job. I didn't have really a lot of friends. I didn't have a spiritual community. And it was just sheer obedience that I was in proxy to the promise, but I wasn't walking in the promise. Mm. And I remember, Sean, the Lord speaking to me and he was like, this is where you're going to learn to worship and praise me even when you don't like it. Mm. And you're going to learn how to thrive even in the hard places. And I was in a wilderness. I mean, wilderness with a capital W. There was nothing about my life that I was like, yes, I moved back from Australia for this. It was like, I moved back from Australia for this. I mean, that's how I felt. And I kept going back to God. Did I miss it? Did I miss it? And God kept saying to me, no, no, I've called you here because there is a work I want to do in you before you ever get a microphone in your hand. Ooh. I had been prophesied that I was going to be preacher, that I'd be ministering to many, that God had called, you know, a platform ministry over my life. And yes, but there had to be a work in the wilderness, the character development, get my ego out of the way. There had to be a crushing of me in order there would be more of God. And that is a requirement for anyone that wants to carry the anointing. That is a requirement for anyone that wants to be used mightily, because we have to get out of ourselves. We have to get emptied of ourselves so we can actually be full of God. And you know, what's interesting about that is that is in complete contradiction to really the essence, the foundation of our culture. Everything about our culture is addicted to ease and comfort. We want like everything to be really, you know, works for us and everything to be so simple and easy. And when we hit resistance, we're like, what? But the word tells us tribulations will come.
Right.
But we don't have to fear because we have God working on our behalf. But we sometimes forget that we are going to have tribulations.
Right.
And we can be smack dab in the middle of God's will through trials and tribulations. Because here's the truth. The world is unavoidable with hard things. We're going to go through hard things. We're going to be in hard places. And we're going to be personally in hard places. Things are not always going to be easy. Things are not always going to work out for us. And there is a difficulty that we will walk through as believers that is necessary so that God's work can be completed through us. And that is a truth we often want to forget.
I love that. I think that is so true. And you know, there could be people listening right now. You're in a personal hard space. Maybe you have a public hard space. You're a student at school and you're standing for God. There could be physical hard spaces that maybe you're battling some sort of condition or situation that you're having to endure. Maybe there's financial hard places, but you have to understand something that I think there's so much of a modern teaching today that you're supposed to have hashtag your best life now, but we don't realize that in order to get through to your best life now, you have to go to your cross life now. And that's so important, because if you don't understand that, like you said earlier, Chris, we get addicted to ease and comfort. And what does that produce? It produces a ultra soft saint when we need some battle tested believers. And so when we go through the highs and lows, the question we have to ask ourselves is, did we just go through it or did we grow through it? Mm. Like, if you know, the Bible lets us know that it is impossible that you're going to get through this life without some trials and tribulations, that adversity is going to come to every life. So if it's going to come, are you just going to go through it or are you going to grow through it? And if you just go through it, what I have found is that you're bound to experience the same adversity again until you learn the lesson. Thus, the Israelites in the wilderness, they kept going around in circles. What took 40 years could have happened in 11 days, but they didn't grow through it. They just tried to go through it. So here's really, I think, the principle. Adversity comes into your life, believer, but God has a purpose for you, and he has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for the adversity. And as shocking as this sounds to somebody, God's primary aim is not to make you happy, not to make you comfortable, not necessarily to give you success in business and in your ministry and your finances and being known. His aim is to grow you spiritually, continuously throughout your entire life, that you would look like our Savior Jesus. And he continually trains and equips you for the future. And the two main tools he uses to do this is his word and the circumstances in your life. And so the word, obviously, you have to stand on your word, on his word, in order to achieve literally victory over what it is the enemy is sending at you. And at the same time, you're going to need the word to encourage yourself, and the word is going to test you. But circumstances and these things, I think, are so important to understand the simple truth. Hard places hones you for epic spaces.
That's so good. You know, as we're talking about this baby, I keep wondering, have we forgotten the vital role, right, that setbacks actually play in our lives? And yes. I think we have to realize there's a vital role that setbacks, trials, and tribulations actually play in our life. I know from you and I, like, I've grown the most from the hard things, right? In those painful places, in the difficulties of life. That's where I've actually had my depth with God really grow the most. If we look back, I think many of us could agree of our life experiences of the past, we find setbacks, which actually turned out to be unexpected setups for future successes.
I love that.
Right? And what felt like a breakdown in the moment actually led to a breakthrough we wouldn't have found really any other way. That we had to go through the breakdown to find the breakthrough. And everything about us was like, I didn't expect to encounter God that way or God to open up a door through that. Like, I wasn't expecting that, which here again, the rest of the story, when I was at that mortgage broker firm, the Lord says, you know, you've had prophesied over you, Krista, that you're going to have a ministry that's on the platform and you have, you know, you're called to preach, but the Lord says the preaching and the ministry starts here. And I looked around this mortgage broker firm and the Lord says, start witnessing and leading them to Jesus. And that's what I started doing before I ever got a microphone in my hand. He taught me that the one in front of me is the ministry. It's not the platform that's the ministry. It's the people of God. It's the lost souls. Like, that's who I'm ministering to. So I don't ever have to have a mic in my hand or a platform. Well, I didn't discover that until I was in the hard place, right? And so we have to look at sometimes those hard things we went through, the contradictions are actually a place of breakthrough. I mean, think about it. There's some of you listening today where the breakup with that person, which at the time was really devastating, right? That's what actually led to you having a greater awareness of the kind of relationship you actually wanted and you deserved.
Yep.
Had you not gone through that, you wouldn't have come into the revelation of, no, I don't want that marriage, or no, I don't want that kind of relationship. Like, this is actually what I want. Or maybe for some of you listening, when you were passed over or you were fired or you were let go or you're released from a job where you and I would have been actually stuck in that job. We would have stayed in that job, but it wasn't God's will. And so we had to get fired. We had to get released. We had to be passed over for the promotion and get frustrated and actually say, you know, I deserve more. Or, you know what? I'm not going to move in the fullness of who I am and what's in me until I actually leave this place. And so sometimes it's the disappointments that actually set us up for the breakthrough and the revelation that God wants to instill in our lives. And I look at how many times I had a plan. You know, I had this plan that was like, okay, God, this is what you're going to do. Like, I had a plan when I came back from Australia, that thing went up in flames. And I had to reassess. I had to dig into God. I had to pivot. I had to shift and adapt to what God was calling me to. It wasn't my plans. It was his plans. And his plans look sometimes really different from our plans. But I recognize, and we have to recognize, that his ways are not our ways, but his ways are higher. And when you actually align yourself with God's plans, that's what actually takes you to the place of breakthrough.
I love that, because I agree with you. I think there's people listening. We can all relate, as you said, when your original plan goes up in flames, it forces you to reassess and all of a sudden partner with God and allow God to speak to you, and it leads to breakthroughs. And really, at the end of the day, again, your hardship serves a purpose. You know, all of us see the problems in our lives as something outside of God's purposes. Like, oh man, I got the purpose of God. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not for calamity, to give you a hope in the future. The calamity is not that God says that you're not going to have trials. That means the end result of God's plan isn't calamitous, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to have some adversity in the meantime. So if you see problems as something outside of God's purpose, you're always going to push against problems. And then when problems come, you're going to feel like you're out of the plan of God. But maybe the hardship you're facing is not outside of God's plan. Maybe it is God's plan for you. Or maybe there's somebody here, just as Krista was talking about, that you've had a relationship and it failed. You know, maybe you were dating somebody or you're kind of wondering whether or not this is going to be the one and they broke your heart. I remember years ago, I was engaged. I think I've shared this story. I was engaged and she called it off. This is when I was starting off in ministry. And it was this thing where my heart was broke. But it was in that time that I discovered intimacy with the Lord so much so that I don't think that I, again, could have ever come to the place of directing a campus ministry if it hadn't come to the point where my heart was broken away. And so sometimes you go, my heart was broken, right? They broke my heart. But I feel like maybe God is saying to someone, no, it wasn't about they broke your heart. It was that I broke their grip. So again, there could be a purpose in what it is. So it's so not good. To be avoided. It is an invitation to embrace what God is doing and allow the difficulty to press you into the Lord because he sent you there. Do you realize he sent his people into exile, but he gave them grace and faith to sustain them. He allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go in the fire, but there was one, the fourth man, many believe it, pre-incarnate Jesus, that met them in the fire. And after that, they had a fiery faith that I'm sure brought about an incredible witness to all the people around them and really probably kept some of the young Hebrew as they were in Babylonian captivity. This is a lifetime truth that if you get this, listener, it will revolutionize your life.
You know, the truth is, and we can all admit this, we all just want the suffering to be over, when you're in the hard place. But God wants to make us over during times of suffering. You know, it's the trials of our life that put God's power on display.
Ooh.
And here's the truth. Moves of God have repeatedly and historically come out of when the enemy attacks the church and attacks his people. That's what actually provokes people to dig in and press in. It's like we have to remember the ravages of the demonic become the revivings of the divine.
Ooh, snap.
And I believe we're in that moment again in the church where we have to make the decision, how are we going to respond to the difficult seasons of life? We have on a global scale been in a kind of a ongoing difficult season. We have wars, continued rumors of wars. We have lots of division. There is a instability on a global level that is at an unprecedented level. And here we have a choice as the church today. Are we going to stand on who God is, or are we going to cower to the trial and the tribulation that we find ourselves in? And we have to understand that if we stand on who God is in the midst of the painful times, that's where God can lead us to the place of breakthrough. And maybe a better way to say it is painful problems can lead to pleasant places.
Ooh, yes.
Right? And I think of a friend of mine specifically where at a young age, she was trafficked and she was sex trafficked for years.
Wow.
And she was probably in there for 10 to 12 years. She was trafficked, had a child. And because she had a child while she was trafficked and she realized she didn't want her daughter being raised in that, she escaped.
Wow.
And today, because God got a hold of her, changed her life, transformed her, she's now one of the leading advocates training FBI and police force and law enforcement all over the nation.
Wow.
And her trauma has become her place of authority.
Mm.
Her trauma has become her place of a breakthrough. And so we can look at our painful problems, but in time, when God gets a hold of you, he can use all to be restored for his glory. And it'll actually become the pleasant place, the peaceful place, and the place of breakthrough.
Oh, that is so good. I was just thinking about, you know, you think one of the two great healing revivalists that come to mind, there are many, but of times past is Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake. And maybe if I throw in another one, Oral Roberts. You know what they all three have in common, in addition to a tremendous healing ministry where they saw all kinds of diseases and all kinds of people, even some of them amputations grow back, raising the dead, situation where cancer, literally all of them face childhood infirmities. Some of them lost relatives. John G. Lake lost relatives. Many of them battled. I know Smith Wigglesworth passed gallstones. I think it was Oral Roberts that almost died early on from an early childhood disease, but it was overcoming the hard places that honed them for epic spaces of walking and healing. And I think God has ordained hard places. And I stumbled on this thing in scripture in Judges 14. Everybody's heard of Samson. You think of Samson, don't get in a barber chair, bro. Don't get your hair cut by your Delilahs. Don't give up the secrets. Keep your consecration. But there's another part in Judges 14. And I love to remind people that God always hides an opportunity in your opposition. So all of a sudden, Samson is going to walk down this road, right? Judges 14. And a lion jumps out at him. And when a lion jumps out at him, Samson, without any weapons, right? I mean, if a lion jumped out at you, like, what would I want? I would want the immediate gift of being able to run like Flash, disappear. If not, an AK-47, automatic rifle would be awesome. Samson tore up the lion with his bare hands, and then he went to do whatever exploit, whatever next episode of his life is. He's walking back. Remember, this was a path where a lion jumped out at him to kill him. He tears the lion up, leaves the lion's carcass on that path. When he comes back, the weirdest thing, bees had made a hive. Our brother-in-law does this, and they had produced honey. And the Bible says Samson was like weary, and he was like starving, like maybe the dude might pass out. And in that lion's carcass, he got honey. So thus he would share the riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. So what does it really mean is simply conquered lions create honey. That hard place of the attack of the lion. You know, the Bible says that our adversary prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. That God allows a backlash to become your breakfast. That hard place becomes something to feed you in the next season. That is that lion tried to kill and eat Samson. Samson ended up eating out of the lion. And so it was an incredible situation. And I think maybe the same could be true with you. Right now, you may be faced with a challenge. Someone's listening right now. And you may not realize, but as you rise to fight that battle, that not only will you experience what it means to be an overcomer, but you're going to give that food. Because when Samson got the honey out of the lion, he also shared it with his parents. So out of your victories come honey that you will feed to generations to come, and you'll be able to scoop honey out of your challenges. And so what is it really saying? That seemingly bad situation has a sweet side. Behind that problem is a great testimony. And as Samson shared that honey with his parents, you need to understand people should feed out of you. You're not ordinary, you're extraordinary, because the oil of the Lord is on your life, and that hard place, that backlash can become your breakfast.
You know, there are three principles of resistance and growth. And we have to understand that if we want to grow in the midst of trials and tribulations, these three principles are essential for that. The first one is, if we never experience resistance, we would never grow.
Hey.
And there's the truth. And I said it earlier, I'll say it again. The times when I've grown the most in my relationship with God is not the mountaintops. It is the valleys. It is the hard places. It's the places where it's just God and I. I mean, you're just in those places where you're like, Jesus, this is just between you and me. Like, you got to get me through this. You got to teach me how to walk and find the peace and the fruit of the Spirit.
Come on.
Lord, you got to teach me what it is to dig into you and stand in your word. You got to get me more acquainted with the parts of your word that apply to the promises of this valley, right? That's where, I mean, you get in and you discover scripture you didn't even know was there. All of a sudden, you're memorizing things that you've never memorized before. Why? Because you're getting the word in you in the midst of the valley. And if you hadn't been in the valley, you wouldn't have gotten into the word like that. My prayer life has increased. My faith has increased. Why? Because of the valley places. Now, number two, second principle is, we do not determine growth by what we avoid in life, but by what we overcome.
Ooh.
And the reality is, if you avoid things, you're never going to get definition. You are never going to be able to have that root system that is required if you want to have depth with God. There is that overcomer spirit that God has put within every single believer that has to be exercised in order to be obtained. I can know about an overcoming spirit. I can talk about an overcoming spirit. But if I want to walk in an overcoming spirit, I've got to overcome some things. And so I overcome by being in the hard place. And so I know what it is about learning about victory, about there's a promise of victorious living as a believer. But in order for me to experience that, I have to be in a place where I have the choice. Am I going to be a victim or victorious? Mm. I have to choose victory. So you have to be in those places in order to experience what God tells you and who he says you are.
I love that. And I'll throw in a third thing. I love what you said. You were saying that the principles of growth and resistance, if you never experience resistance, you never grow. Then you said, hey, you don't determine growth by what you avoid in life, but by what you overcome. overcome. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, we're Golden State Warrior fans. And I just think Steph Curry hits crazy shots in practice. Anybody ever goes to the game early, which we've gotten a chance to do that, or you can YouTube this. He does this incredible array. He was, I guess, just recently in China. And as he was in China, he was doing these incredible shots. But you know what really caused people to really appreciate what he was doing was that he did those shots in a game in the Olympics when the game was on the line and the U.S. team would have came back with silver instead of gold. And when he hits the shot against that level of resistance, that's when it acquires the abnormal proportionality. So I'd say the third principle in resistance is resistance gives you a revelation that you wouldn't have otherwise from a life of ease and comfort. And so I think it's just so important to understand this principle, that this third principle of resistance is resistance gives you revelation you wouldn't have otherwise from a life of ease and comfort. And so if you love ease and comfort, you're not going to get the deeper revelations. The deeper revelations of God come because you've been in some hard spaces. And so I just want to encourage you to recognize this is so important to what it is that God is forming in you and what he's preparing you for. And hey, nobody, if you're going to build a tall skyscraper, it means you're going to have to dig deeper in the ground in the foundation, or it won't be able to handle when the wind and the, you know, if you lived in California, you lived in our area, the rumblings and stuff of tremors, it would not survive that otherwise.
You know, as we're talking about walking through trials, tribulations, and allowing the wilderness seasons to hone you for the epic spaces in your life, right? I think there's some healthy and valuable questions that you need to be asking yourselves when you find yourselves in those hardship places, because it's in the hardships that God is inviting us to learn something, right? There is a work God wants to do in your life. But to have that time of reflection, contemplation, where you're actually inquiring and conversating with God on that the situation, can you dialogue with God about it? Here's some questions that Sean and I were dialoguing about that we feel like could really be helpful to you as a Keep Wonder Tribe. Questions I'd be asking when you find yourself in wilderness seasons are, how might this hardship take me deeper in God, right? Mm-hmm. What might I learn as a result of this difficult trial or tribulation? What does God want to do in my life? Mm. Are there lessons from my past experiences, things that I've already learned from the Lord that might look similar that I can actually apply to this difficult place? How am I feeling? Where am I really at? What is this bringing up within me? And is there anything God wants to heal within me? Is there any broken places and spaces within me that are surfacing that are showing, wow, I have some fragmented places with me. I have some broken places. God wants to do a healing work in my life. What's the Spirit of God telling me? What's the intuition, the discernment that God has put within me? Well, begin to trust what God has put in you as you inquire and discern how to navigate those wilderness places. And what are my actions telling me about, you know, what's working and what's not working? Looking at the fruit of my life and the fruit of my decisions and my choices. Like, you're able to take that as a classroom and go, am I navigating this well? Am I responding well? Am I allowing God to do his work? And what can I learn from what I and others did in this situation? I can look at maybe a difficult valley that I walked through, and I inquired to people that I knew had walked through a similar difficulty or a similar trial. And I sought their counsel and I thought, what can I learn? What can I glean? And they would share with me things they did right and things they did wrong. And they would give me wisdom and discernment. They helped impart into me that wisdom that I needed, that I didn't have and was hard to see when you're in that valley. Sometimes you have to pull other perspectives because you can't see, and you need the wisdom of the other people to give you foresight, right? Another question I'd be asking is, what feedback do I need to seek from others? Is there people that I need speaking into the wilderness seasons of my life? And the answer is yes. You should always have that, those people with a different perspective than your perspective, because when you're in a hard place, that's often all you can see. But when fresh eyes look at your situation, they're going to be able to look at it from a different vantage point. And then lastly, I'd be asking, how might this help me going forward?
Ooh, like, that's good.
God, how do you, I know I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to stay in it. What can I really pull from this? What can be the thing I'm gleaning as I move forward and walk deeper in you?
You know, there was an old phrase that someone has quoted. I'm not sure who originally said it, but they said, adversity introduces a man to himself. And basically, the takeaway from that is hardships force you to come face to face with who you are. And those lessons that you learn from hardships, they reveal limitations, patterns, beliefs, false and true beliefs, skills you didn't see or appreciate before. And so hardships have a place. And so if nothing else, one of the things that we just want you to recognize is that there's a purpose. If you're going through the hard right now, it's a great indication that that hard place you find yourself right now is honing you for an epic space up ahead. And that's why you can't compare yourself, because you might be in a wilderness and someone else is in their promised land. But after a while, they may be going through another wilderness as you're going to enter into your promised land. And I just think what you have to understand is you're just simply living a surrendered life. And I guess if we could sum it up, and in fact, this entire podcast in a scripture, it's 2 Corinthians 4:17. I love this. I've quoted this. It says, "For our light momentary troubles are achieving in us an eternal weight of glory, which far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal." But the key thing is our light and momentary troubles or affliction is achieving in us an eternal weight of glory. So what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth is the hard places are producing in you a glory. Who doesn't want more glory in their life? If you want more glory in your life, recognize that adversity and hardships will play a part to get you into that. And I believe as you embrace God in the midst of it, you're going to forge a depth of intimacy, impact, and influence, and you will step into the epic storyline that God has written for your life.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the word out. Share this link on your social media platforms and check us out at SeanandKristaSmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you. So be sure to show us some love.
Hey, Keep It 100 Tribe. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to download this and join us for our next podcast. And remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and SeanandKristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep it 100.